2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host. He is knee deep in fine-tuning the RoboScout numbers each week. He just had a wonderful RoboScout article that dropped on the site on Sunday. Always make sure you're checking those out. They drop a few hours before Fab, so you can maybe sneak it by a couple of good bids by the other guys in your league. I, of course, am talking about Dylan White. Dylan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Not too bad. Doing the podcast on a different day. I like it. It's still bright out here in Toronto, and usually it's dark.
Yeah, I like the earlier week podcasts on the fantasy side of things. You know, I'm never sure what the utility is, if it's better to record on, like, I don't know, the weekend, but then so many things happen, and then, like, Fab's already kind of happened on Sunday night. So is it better to record on Thursday and release on Friday, but then we have, like, 50 podcasts that drop on Friday? I never know. This is a happy medium for me. It's before the full minor league season week starts. And at this point, you're kind of not thinking roster decisions. You're thinking, what am I going to be following for the next Fab? So we're going to come in and we're going to drop some under the radar data standouts, some guys that have popped on some of the data that we were able to get our hands on from the first month of the season. Really interesting time. So we're just going to go 5-5. I think that is a good format for us. It allows us to talk about a bunch of different players, kind of go back and forth. Dylan, as always, I'm very polite as a co-host. So I'm going to give you the first pick. Who is the first name you want to talk about that you feel is maybe a little bit underappreciated in the general prospect space, but particularly in the fantasy dynasty space right now?
So I wanted to say that last May 11th, I had a RoboScout article come out, and the low A hitting leader, number one, was Luis Peña. Number two is Andrew Salas, who we've talked about before. He was very young at the time. He started off gangbusters, and then he kind of slowed down. But then AJ Ewing, Jesus Madé, Eduardo Quintero, Arun Escobar. So, like, the top names this early in the season are our names. So, you know, there is some validity to RoboScout even this early in the season. And so I'm going to pick the guy who is sixth in low A, and that is Robert Arias of the Guardians. 19 years old, outfielder, center fielder, plays pretty good defense. He has a 148 WRC plus, 4 home runs, 15 stolen bases. That projects, as a 19-year-old playing in low A, that projects to have a peak projection of around 263 batting average, 340 on base, and 21 home runs and 22 stolen bases. What I like about the data is he always runs contact, as you'd expect from a Guardians prospect. Very good contact rates. Last year, his in-zone contact was 88%. This year, 91% early in the season. His 90th percentile last year is 101.7 miles per hour as an 18-year-old. It's this early is 103.4. So he's added some strength, which we like to see with these Guardians prospects. And I like the fact he plays good center field. So it's a nice up the middle defensive position. He's getting on base. He makes contact. And he's got, a hard hit rate of about 40%, which is also almost plus for the level. Very young, et cetera. So, you know, 2020, good contact, good defense. That's a good prospect. And I haven't really seen him getting too much buzz. I think he's one of those guys that people have as, like, just outside the top 100, or this guy could pop. He's a helium name. So I just think, you know, get in now if you can, Robert Arias.
Yeah. And as we say with any Guardians prospect, he makes lots of contact and he hits left-handed. You can just assume those things when you say Guardians prospect. Most of the guys that they have hit left-handed or switch. So they hit left-handed sometimes and they make lots of contact. It's always a trip to think that a right-hander would ever, a full-time righty would ever be in that lineup. But I guess it's possible. We could see what happens. Arias is a really good one. And I think that, you know, you're right. I mean, the approach is somewhat aggressive. You know, the per plate appearance pitch average is on the lower side. It's under 3.5. But some of that is because he's got a 9% in-zone miss rate. So you know, when he does swing at strikes, he hits them and he's hitting them pretty hard. 40.6% hard hit rate as well. So impressive numbers for him, and somebody that will be really interesting to sort of follow over the next year and see how this plays out through 26 and then into 27. But I think definitely a name that in leagues of, I don't know, Dylan, you say maybe 250 prospects or less, like he's kind of relevant right now. I think if you have that last bench spot, he's worth taking a flyer on and seeing where that all goes. All right, my first name, a little bit less under the radar than Dylan's, but somebody that I do think is a little bit underappreciated still in fantasy leagues, just in terms of what he brings to the table. There might be some fantasy sites out there, and there's so many prospect rankings at this point. Very different from when I started doing this in 2016, where it was pretty much me and I guess Halp at that point, or imaginary brick wall. Braylon Payne, to me, is really, really interesting. Super athletic, lefty power. The power is really the standout tool. He's got speed as well. I think that's probably hand in hand. It's a power speed play here. The skills are a little iffy. There is some whiff with Payne. There's going to probably remain to be some whiff with Payne. Just a matter of him sort of having quality enough swing decisions and sort of keeping that end zone miss rate at an acceptable level, which is kind of a little bit above that threshold now, but hopefully it goes down a little bit. But the 108.8 90th percentile is keeping me coming back. Really good numbers against off speed and soft stuff. At least in the month of April, had a 1075 ops against changeups, a 1508 ops against spin of all types, was hitting righties well, was hitting lefties well as well. Some of it was against fastballs. Guys with bat speed like this, I tend not to panic about fastball numbers early in the season because some of that stuff is fluky, right? And we get some of these OPS numbers. We don't know what the batting average on balls in play is against fastballs, right? And how that all factors in, okay? If he's hitting soft stuff and he's hitting it for power, some of that might be the swing path is a little bit lower in the zone, a little bit, you know, better equipped to handle spin stuff that's dropping, right, and kind of meeting it there. I don't think it's a bat speed thing, especially when you see a guy with a 108.8 90th percentile and kind of the data and physicality to back that. I'm in with Payne. I understand that, you know, there might be some skeptics due to some of the swing and miss, but I think with these power speed guys that have some approach that do get on base some, it's worth taking that gamble at this point. And, you know, you start to get past like 60 when you're making your top 100 list right now. You haven't had that influx of talent come in from the draft yet. You've had a lot of guys graduate. And if you're somebody who ranks out prospects or looks at prospects as guys that aren't in the majors or haven't debuted, he's probably somewhere on that top 100 guys that haven't debuted for me. So I think Braylon Payne's a really interesting one. And I think it's one that could, you know, potentially continue to scale up as the skills just get a little bit tighter.
Yeah, he is ninth in the high A RoboScout. And just for the sake of posterity from last year, high A at this time, number one, Leo DeVries, number two, Jacob Reimer, big breakout. Number three, Max Clark, number four, Josue de Paula, number five, Arjun Namala, number six, AJ Ewing, number seven, George Lombard Jr., number eight, Demetrio Crisantes, number nine, Zahir Hope, number 10, Josue Briseño. So these are all top names. That was the top 10 last year. And if Braylon Payne's in the top 10 already this year, at this point, like, he's a name to keep your eye on. So concur, RoboScout concurs and validates and endorses your statement.
That's good. Let's go back to the robot here and yourself. Who's your next name, Dylan?
I'm going to do say in low A, though actually he was promoted to high A. Jeremy? I'm going to say Jeremy Cabrera, Washington Nationals, outfielder as well, playing some center field, but probably a corner, also playing right field. He was part of the Mackenzie Gore trade that also got Devin Fitzgerald, Gavin Fien, a bunch of guys that maybe the Rangers may regret. Maybe.
So far, I have Mackenzie Gore in a few teams, and I'll tell you, I really regret turning down some of the offers I got from Mackenzie Gore after that trade, because I was like, no, he's going to be great for the Rangers. He's going to be awesome. Now I'm like, I could have traded this guy for players that are multiple players that are out producing him right now. But anyway, that's an aside. Sorry.
Yeah, I still like him. He's young. He goes long. He gets strikeouts. I still like Mackenzie Gore. Anyway, Yermy Cabrera. So, you know, we talked about Robert Arias being a 2020 guy. So is Yermy Cabrera. He's like 1 year older in like season age. He has a 188 WRC plus, 7 home runs, 18 stolen bases. Like I said, as a 20-year-old in low A, just got promoted to high A. So that projects out to 28 home runs, 24 stolen bases per RoboScout. He had a 82% in-zone contact last year with a 101.6 90th percentile. He's at 77% in-zone contact, basically the same, basically average for the league, but his 90th percentile is 104.8. His hard hit rate's 43%. There's a bit of chase to his game, but if you take, I think Theo Epstein made a comment that one of the quick and dirty stats they used when he was with the Red Sox was like ISO times in zone contact. So Yermy Cabrera has an ISO of 315, his in zone of 77%. He's near the top of the league. Average using that metric is like 0.11, and he's at like 0.24. So Yermy Cabrera is hitting the heck out of the ball, stole 18 bases, 28 home runs, 24 stolen bases at peak, above average WRC plus. Again, I don't think he's a name that people know, definitely know, especially because of the production he's doing, but he's not someone that's everyone's talking about, top 100 prospect, or maybe even top 100 fantasy prospect. But I'm not trying to say I found him or anything, but he definitely should be in that conversation because power speed blend, he plays a pretty good defense and contact and power and speed. So Yermy Cabrera.
Yeah, no, I think it's Yermy, like Jeremy with a Y, but I could be wrong. We'll see. That's how it was said to me. I saw him in spring training in the backfield. He was a name that was called out to me by some of the Nats folks as somebody that like they think, you know, is maybe a little underrated and could jump up a little bit this year. Yeah, I mean, playing center field, there's power, there's speed, and the production, you know, is starting to kind of match. He took a while, like getting off the complex and all that with the Rangers, and it seems like he's kind of accelerated. It's really interesting. A lot of these guys that the Nats inherited, as well as guys that they had brought in, have taken pretty substantial gains under the new management and direction and player development group. It'll be interesting to see where all this goes and if that maintains throughout, you know, the entirety of the season. I always think it's great when guys are showing some new stuff early in the year. We have to remember that a big part of it is also maintaining those skills. But I think Cabrera is a legitimate one. I've added him in a few different leagues as well, deeper leagues where, didn't like some of the names that are on the wire, but had an open spot for the minors, whatever it is. Somebody gets called up, somebody gets hurt, you know how it works. So I was able to add him. One name I want to call out here, Dylan, is Aaron Walton from the Guardians. So sometimes it's not necessarily inside scoops or, I don't write the Guardian system, so I don't know, all these guys off the top of my head. But obviously, like, Walton was decently revered as an amateur, was, what, a second-round guy last year out of Arizona, got a decent bonus. So it's not all the way kind of out of left field here with Walton. And, you know, the production has been very solid. 311, 407, 557 over 28 games. He's got 5 home runs. He's got 9 steals. That's with high A Lake County. He did debut for about 16 games last year and kind of put somewhat underwhelming. I know it's an above average WRC plus, but kind of underwhelming numbers with Lynchburg. This year, though, the data is really popping, Dylan. A lot of pitches per plate appearances, 4.2, 16% in zone whiff rate, 21.8% chase rate with a 107.5 mile per hour, 90th percentile, 45.8% hard hit rate as well. Kind of look at that. I factor in the batted ball profile a little bit. He's a guy that can pull the ball in the air. It's a decent fly ball rate at 35%. Ground ball rate is kind of acceptable at 40%. You know, it's kind of a good balance sometimes. You do want some ground balls. It's going to boost the batting average more often than not. And then a decent line drive rate at 23%. mostly has seen time in center field. He's played some right field as well, and some left. I think he's a really interesting prospect. I don't know, you know, how high this all goes necessarily, but I do think this is maybe a name in deeper leagues that's probably unowned, that probably should be rostered, just based on what the underlying data is, what the production is. And it is at high A, and he seems like a guy that's maybe could push his way to Akron by the middle of the summer. So Aaron Walton, you kind of heard it here first. I haven't heard him mentioned a lot by people, but the underlying data absolutely backs the production that we've seen so far. And I know it's high A, I know it's a college hitter. It's also worth keeping in mind how hard it typically is to hit in the Midwest League over the first month plus of the season, because it's still really cold up there. Even in comparison to somewhere like Massachusetts, where it is kind of cold at the beginning of the season, or even Maine, it gets really cold, really windy up there. Kind of tough conditions, not the easiest place to hit. So kudos to Aaron Walton for doing that. I think he's a really interesting name that's probably widely available in a lot of your leagues.
Yes, he's a guy I actually looked at a couple weeks ago, because looking at the Statcast data, kind of what I do before I write my articles, I have the RoboScout sheet, and then I go down to like, what are the names I want to look at? And then who are names that I have to scroll down for that have good underlying data? Because often that's kind of where I find like the Aaron Waltons or like Cole Mathis, who was popping like early in the season, or like Cole Kerrig. These are guys who like other sites are writing about, but like I don't have on here, but it's the underlying data is solid. And Aaron Walton popped with that, you know, the hit plus number that we calculate. I have a 115, which is pretty high. So he's the guy I actually had my eye on. I looked at some video and I was interested. It's just, you know, 22 in high A. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if there's superstar material. And I was looking for that when I was making my fab picks. So I do like that name. He was a guy that I was looking into. So let's move to double A. I'm gonna pick Anderson De Los Santos of the Baltimore Orioles. He was a guy that in 2021 in the DSL, he was actually playing some shortstop in the third base. Kind of became clear he's not a shortstop. Started moving third base. Now he's basically first base DH / third base. But what I like about him, he was a guy I had my eye on coming into this year because he had pretty good data last year. You know, solid contact, kind of average contact. His 90th was at 104 miles an hour, which is better than average. He chases at a little less than average. He had a good barrel rate. So just a guy I had, like he was a guy that I had noted. And this year he's kind of improved on that. He was leading or amongst the leaders of WRC plus in double A earlier in the season. It's kind of come down a bit, but you know, he's hitting the ball 90th percentile of 106.7. He's basically not chasing at all. So he's got a walk rate of 18.2% so far this year, updated as of through Sunday's games. He has a 133 WRC plus. Like I said, he had a very high one at the beginning of the season. It's kind of come down a bit. 5 home runs, though, as a 22-year-old, 2 stolen bases. That kind of projects out as a league average hitter with 18 to 20 home runs. But I like the data. Like I said, the he has a lot of thump. He's going to have to overcome a lot because of the defensive profile playing first base / DH, maybe third base in a pinch. But I do like the data, and I'm curious to see how it goes. He started off high. I think he peaked at like number 5 a couple weeks ago, and now he's kind of slipped down to like 20th. So I just want to see if he stays in the top 20. But he's a guy whose underlying data is pretty compelling to me. Anderson De Los Santos, Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I think that, you know, there's power here. There's like the contact's a little iffy, but the swing decisions are excellent. Works really deep into counts. That's kind of enough to get me on board. So I am with you there. We've gone through 5 so far. We're doing 10. We're going to take a quick break right now. We come back, we'll do the other 5 and get you out of here. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back. We are talking some under the radar data standouts here. Dylan just went through his first 3. I went through my first 2 to review those 5 names. It is Robert Arias of the Guardians, Braylon Payne of the Brewers, Yeremy Cabrera of the Nationals, Aaron Walton of the Guardians, and Anderson De Los Santos is the last one we just talked about from Dylan of the Orioles. I'm going to pick my third guy now to go in on. This is kind of an interesting one because I never thought this would be a name that I was super into. And it's funny because it's also a player who has a same name, a navel gagger, doppelganger name-wise. I don't know. Is there a term for this? Jared Jones of the Pirates. Not that Jared Jones. Not the pitcher. This is the slugger that was drafted in the ninth round out of LSU. Had a fairly historic college career. He hit 28 home runs as a sophomore at LSU. He hit 22 home runs as a junior at LSU. Had a absolutely insane number of home runs in the SEC. He did strike out quite a bit out of the draft last year. He's still striking out quite a bit. And I know that it's Greensboro and all that kind of goes with that and the question marks. But 304, 374, 471. Slash line right now. He has four home runs, 10.4% walk rate. It is unfortunately a 33.9% whiff rate. I will say, despite that, he has pretty good plate discipline numbers. It's a 24% chase rate, so not absurd. We saw what the walk rate is. It's only a 19% miss rate. When I see a 33% strikeout rate, Dylan, there could be some passivity, guys taking pitches in the zone, all that sort of thing. We don't have his exact zone swing numbers. But that said, 19% in zone miss rate with a lower chase rate tells me that there's maybe some flukiness, that maybe the true strikeout rate is probably a little bit lower than that. And this is coming with huge power, 48% hard hit rate, a 107.1 90th percentile EV. I think that this is, it's a deeper league name. Once again, this is not somebody, I think it's probably more like 300 or so prospects rostered in a league where Jones is probably relevant, maybe worth one of those spots at the end of your minor league bench. But the big power that's here and some of the underlying data that goes along with it kind of has me buying into it a little bit more than those that are just checking the FanGraphs page and seeing the strikeout rate and kind of all that stuff. There are some swinging strikes here. I do think when you look at the power and how much he's chasing versus how much he's swinging, you know, there's a little bit more than a 20% delta between those two numbers. And as Dylan, we've found out over the years, it typically means that you have a higher zone swing. So I think this can tighten up a little bit. I want to buy into the power. I want to buy into the fact that it's a guy that can bat spin the ball and has kind of a historic upside in terms of his SEC production at LSU. But it's a lot cheaper than some of these other guys, like an Andrew Fisher or some of these other players that you're buying into the same exact profile at a much higher opportunity cost, whether it's an FYPD or in trades, or, you know, he gets dropped and somebody's throwing out bigger fab dollars. You might be able to sneak Jared Jones through in a deeper league like that for a couple of bucks. So just think it's a name to maybe keep in mind here, Dylan. I don't know if you had any thoughts on Jared Jones or if you want to just jump into your next name.
I like that he improved. I mean, he had a brief cup of coffee last year. He chased a lot and he didn't make much contact. He's much improved those things that you just talked about, still with the power too. So I like that there have been some improvements. I'd like to see that strikeout rate come down, obviously. So he's a guy that as soon as, you know, if it dips below 30%, then that's like definitely pounce for sure. I think I would, especially because of all the power you're talking about. I see it here. So I'm going to jump into my fourth name. This is a guy who in last year, 2025, he only had a 119 WRC plus in high A as a 22-year-old. We just talked about Aaron Walton as a 22-year-old. So this is a 119 WRC plus, barely above average. And why do we care about him? Well, we talked about him as a sleeper. This is Sean Keyes of the Toronto Blue Jays. He was a sleeper because the underlying data last year, much like Nathan Flewelling, was his production was not a true indicator of what his underlying skills were. He had a better than average contact and in-zone contact. He had a 105 mile per hour, 90th percentile. He barely chased. He had a better than average barrel rate last year. And this year he was making waves in spring training. The Jays gave him a pretty big look. He stayed deep into the spring training and he was crushing in spring training. And he's kind of come out of the gate meeting those expectations that we were writing about last year. His 90th percentile exit velocity is 109.4 this early. His hard hit rate 60%, where average for the level is 41% right now. So he's just like crushing the ball. That ISO times Z contact stat I was talking about, he's like more than twice the average. He has 10 home runs right now with a 170 WRC plus as a 23-year-old now in AA. He is eighth in RoboScout. He projects out to 29 home runs, 10 stolen bases, 107 WRC plus based on that projection. So this is a guy that, you know, we saw the underlying last year and now it's actualizing. So kind of like what we're talking about with Jared Jones, like you see the underlying, you see the thump, you see he doesn't chase, you see he's got good swing decisions. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before it starts actualizing into production. So Sean Keyes is my fourth name.
Yeah. And, you know, I love Sean Keyes. Saw him this weekend, you know, with that Toronto team. And I'm actually going to go, the New Hampshire AA Toronto affiliate. I'm going to go back to that. These guys actually hit back to back in the order. I think Namala might have been hitting third, or maybe Keyes was third and Namala was second. Eddie Micheletti Jr., somebody I saw years ago on the Cape. He's not a great athlete. Defense is not what you're buying into here with Eddie Micheletti. But I do think, you know, the underlying data is really good. He's been hitting leadoff for this team for a reason. The slash line is 265, 385, 480. It's a 14.8% walk rate, a 22.1% strikeout rate. He's got five home runs so far. You know, puts the ball on the ground more than you would like. But I think that's probably somewhat fixable when you consider what the contact rate is, what the plate skills are here. And this team just always pumps out these like sort of underrated, under-scouted guys with good hit tools. And when you look at the underlying data, kind of an average number of pitches per plate appearances, just under four pitches, 15% in-zone miss, 13.5% chase rate, Dylan. That's one of the best chase rates that you are going to see in the minor leagues. And I think even more impressive is it's a 40.5% swing rate. Once again, that's a really good delta. That tells me that he does attack pitches in the zone. And I can tell you, having seen Eddie Micheletti now multiple spring trainings on the Cape when he was with, I think it was Orleans, and then now in New Hampshire, that holds true. There was also good underlying power here, a 106.2 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity, a 51.8% hard hit rate, Dylan, to go along with all that. So yes, he is hitting the ball on the ground a little bit more. But when I look at sort of the total picture and take a step back, I think this is an interesting player. They're hitting him at the top of a good lineup right now. That New Hampshire team is as good as it's been for a while. And I'm really kind of interested to see where this goes. This is probably more 400 to 500 prospects rostered. I don't think this is, you know, even a mid-tier deep league. This is more of a play for a deep, deep league. You're in one of those crazy 30-team leagues where like any prospect can get rostered. I think this is a guy that's slipping under the radar in a lot of different leagues and looks pretty damn good. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Micheletti Jr., if he's come across any of your Robo Scout work or anything like that, but I did find him to be kind of interesting. The data was good. Saw him this weekend, figured I would bring it up.
No, he is. He has a hit plus of 113. Like that New Hampshire team is good. Like Sean Keyes at 118. Jace Borofin is at 120. He's got 10 home runs as well. Arjun Namala has a good one, obviously. And Aaron Parker has been making some waves. I saw some highlights on Blue Jays player development on Twitter. So yeah, I like that. I like what the Jays are doing there. And he is a name who's in who's popping on the underlying for sure. I will do my last name. I forgot to, I didn't read my AA RoboScout leaders from last year. So I'll just finish that off. Number one last year at this time, Jet Williams. Number two, Bryce Eldridge. Number three, Sebastian Wolcott. Number four, Yohendrick Piñango. Speaking of the Jays and the guy who has been playing fairly well in the major leagues so far. Luke Adams, number five, Brock Wilkin. Number seven, George Lombard Jr. Number eight, Hector Rodriguez of Cincinnati, kind of underrated guy. Number nine, Cooper Pratt. Number 10, Jack Caglione. Number 11, Ryan Clifford. So again, you know, these names are names that we've all heard of. So if you're in the top 10, even this early in RoboScout, he's a name that you probably want to have rostered in even shallower leagues, except like 200 prospects. So my last name, another double A name. This is a guy who I didn't know anything about. 24 years old, so he's a bit older, even for double A, and that's Jonah Cox. San Francisco Giants, playing center field, playing pretty good center field. He is fifth in WRC plus in the entire double A. If you take the minimum plate appearances to be like 80, he's number one. So he has a 206 WRC plus. He's got a lot of speed. He has 18 stolen bases, playing good center field with good WRC plus. So he's a name that projects out well, even though he's older. So RoboScout projects him out to have a 111 WRC plus at peak, which is only a few years away because he's older. 15 home runs, 35 stolen bases. That's a pretty good fantasy player. He plays good defense, so he could get, maybe he's a fourth outfielder, but maybe he gets hot and he gets to play all the time because he's good defense. The underlying isn't the greatest. He's kind of average, and especially because he's 24, you know, you want to be much better than average. He has a 103.5 90th percentile exit velocity, which is average for the level. He has a 78% in-zone contact, which is basically average for the level. His hard hit rate is 38%, which is basically average for the level. But what happened last year was he chased at 31% and the year before 30%. And this year it's only 21%. So it looks like he's making better swing decisions, or maybe he's being passive and just waiting for his pitch. But it's obviously manifesting in production. So I like this name, Jonah Cox. I actually picked him up in my 20-team league where we have 25 prospects, so 500 prospects. Picked him up as a spec. He's in the upper levels. He's in double A. I could see him in triple A soon. The Giants are kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do with their team. They're sending down Ryan Walker. They don't know what they're doing. They called up Bryce Eldridge. So they're trying things out, trying to mix it up. So Jonah Cox may actually make it into the majors at the end of the year or something. And so he could be in the conversation for 2027, maybe. I don't know. But he's definitely producing right now. So just a name I want to talk about. Definitely under the radar. I'm pretty sure not many outlets are talking about him.
That is an absolute slam dunk sleeper. So agree with you there. I think that's a pretty good one. Last name that I'm going to call out here, I'm probably going to butcher it. Ching Hassan Koh of the Dodgers. I feel like this guy's popped up for a while. He was a Robo Scout pop, like on the complex last year, wasn't he?
Yeah. And DSL, stint in the DSL.
Right, that he did go to the DSL, which is obviously a little unusual. Didn't necessarily anticipate that one. But this is another name here that I think it's tough with some players like this, because sometimes they pop on the data and you're like, all right, is there really something here? Is this going to continue to, you know, tick upward? You know, as he gets more experience, and he wasn't great in his first sample of low A last year, then Rancho, now Ontario. Dodgers moved affiliates in the Cal League. Over 32 games last year, 219, 355, 281. The plate skills were there, 16.7% walk rate, and only 23.2% strikeout rate, which isn't terrible. The strikeout rate is actually up this year, and the walk rate is down. But he's hitting for more impacts, and thus his slash line is much better, Dylan. 284, 398, 568 over 22 games. He's got six home runs so far. What impressed me, works really deep in accounts, high number of pitches, really, really low chase rate, 9.9% chase rate, which is absurd. A 105.89 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity. In zone miss is a little bit high at 24%, but I think that's okay when you chase so little that all of your whiffs are kind of coming in the zone. You're swinging at strikes more frequently and thus have a better opportunity to actually do damage and hit those. And thus far he has done that. I think he's an interesting one. I don't know where this goes. I'm sure he's probably rostered in the deeper leagues. So this is probably more of a call to maybe take a chance on him on like 300 to 200 prospects rostered. I think he's kind of jumping into that threshold a little bit. It's a little fringy, but it's just a matter of like what's available, what's out there. But it is a guy with some power and really good swing decisions, and that typically goes pretty good. You know, I think you see players like that more often than not. they tend to get to the place that they're supposed to get to. So just a matter of a little bit more contact, but he mitigates that sort of swing and miss risk a ton because he never chases out of the zone. Under 10% of the time, and a chase rate is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, if you take that stat I was saying of Z contact times ISO, he's at 0.22. That's better than Emil Morales, better than Ethan Holiday. I'm just going up this list here. I'm going better than Cooper Fleming, better than Tate Southsien, better than Johnny Level, better than Eli Willits, better than Robert Arias, Josiah Hartshorn. So like he's making, he's actualizing that thump into production. So his Z contact is not alarming at all. In fact, it's totally, completely manageable and totally fine. So I really like that call, actually.
100%. Yeah, I think that's a good one. All right, Dylan, we've gone through all 10 names. To review those for you, it is Robert Arias, Braylon Payne, Yeremy Cabrera, Aaron Walton, Anderson De Los Santos, Jared Jones, Sean Keyes, Eddie Micheletti Jr., Jonah Cox, and Ching Hassan Koh, which I am hoping I said that correctly. Once again, Dylan, we're getting you out of here. Are there any final comments, any final words of wisdom to our loyal listenership and all those fantasy minds that are out there saying, how can I play and win money like Dylan White? You got any advice?
I don't, other than keep grinding and cheers. That's all I really have as parting words of wisdom.
That has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Jeff. He's Dylan. We'll see you later.
Cheers.